May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 778. Though straight be the way with dangers beset, and we on the way are no farther yet, our good guide and Saviour has helped us thus far, and 'tis by his favour we are what we are. 778.
Thank you. together from the most holy word of God, Psalm 46, and then Zechariah's prophecy, chapter 4. Psalm 46, then Zechariah's prophecy, chapter 4. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, as she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Zechariah chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, as saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel shalt thou become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see thee plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. Most kind, gracious, eternal, ever merciful Lord God, by thee we live and move and have our being, and thou hast spared us each to see this another Sabbath day, and to gather in thy courts this little corner of thy vineyard. And thou hast, we have to confess, for we're sinners, thou hast not cut us off, nor dealt with us as our sins deserve. The door of mercy still stands open, and the day of grace has not ended. Blessed be thy holy name. The day of grace has not ended, and the door of mercy to poor sinners, it stands open to those that are poor and needy. It stands open. May we be found each even this Sabbath morning as beggars poor. At mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Without knowledge of our wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, that great need. With this burden, may it be so. Knowing that and feeling that burden of our sins, with this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. May we be found in the lines of one, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, ere I die. We fast hasten on to a never-ending eternity. And as we have that knowledge even of this day, another year now draws toward its final part. We're nearer to eternity than what we were 12 months ago. And truly, our lives go by as a tale that is told as a passing shadow, so it fleeth away. And, O Lord, as we're brought then to this time, oh, may we each be brought to this. Teach me to number my days, that I might apply my heart unto wisdom. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how we are by nature, how we are bound to the things of the earth and the things of it. Our old nature is so attracted to it and all that it contains. And thou knowest her old nature would want to remain here forever. But the solemnity of it is, there is a time to be born and a time to die, and after death the judgment. And we're fast, each of us are fast hastening on towards that day when we shall have to appear before the judge of all men. That holy, heart-searching God that will not at all acquit the wicked. Ah, yes, we've had it year to year, have we not? Yes, we had day to day and week to week and month to month and year to year. And year upon year, Lord, our lives do hasten on. An eternity, it is a tremendous sound to a sinner doomed to die. And how often it is to this one, a tremendous sound. We're brought to tremble, and become at times fearful and are afraid. Ah, but oh, it might please thee. Might each be brought to that where we see we have no continuing city here and we seek that which is to come. But oh, to have that good hope through grace. To have that sweet knowledge that we're clothed upon with that robe of thy righteousness. That we're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. We have need of it. We can't look back very far, only a few moments of what we see, sin. We often come and we continue to come so short. O Lord, we know a little of the language of the apostle. We are wretched and poor and undone. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And truly our sins that testify against us, and the word declares the soul that sinneth it shall die, and that's at the eternal death. Oh, we have need of that righteousness of Christ, that imputed righteousness. We have need of that washing in that fountain home for all uncleanness, sin and uncleanness. We have need to see that precious blood of that sacrifice once slain, to see it sprinkled upon the doorpost and lintel of our heart. For we are great sinners. And we need a great salvation. Oh, may it please thee that it might be our portion also that we can come even as the apostle. But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ah, but how often we think we can, we can look back our own life and how often we found what we thought we could patch up our own inglorious righteousness. And if we're still resting, yes, even oneself, Lord, we feel a fear of the deceitfulness of our heart. And how solemn if we should stand up in the Lord's name and be found a castaway at last. Ah, the deceitfulness of our heart. And oh, how we long for that sweet assurance of faith. Long once again to lay hold upon thee and to see a precious Christ in all his beauty. To see by faith that one that so suffered in the sinner's room, place and stead. And that one, even as Abraham of old, saw and by faith he believed and was accounted unto him for righteousness. God shall provide himself a lamb. Oh, if we're patching up our own inglorious righteousness, oh, may it please he strip it from us. Strip it from us. We might be found bound up in Christ. Found as one that has entered into the fold through Christ, being the door into the sheepfold. And not as one that's come up some other way. Lord, it makes us cry, does it not? Make me right and keep me right. And knowing the treachery of our old heart and the old nature that dwells within still, we carry about with that burden and that body of the old man of sin and death. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And so, Lord, we plead, remember each of us in mercy. And from the one that stands in the pew, in the pulpit, to those that are sitting in the pew, search our hearts and try our ways. And see if there be any wicked way in our heart and reveal it to us, O Lord. And give unto us each that broken heart and a contrite spirit which thou wilt not despise. And may we seek that grace to walk humbly before our Lord all the days of our life. But Lord, what a mercy. Yes, man may look upon the outward appearance. And our fellow men might have looked upon us as we enter into thy courts here. Those of the world gazing upon us. Yes, in that way we look the same. But thou lookest upon the heart. And thou art the searcher of all men's hearts. So, Lord, make us each honest before thee. Bring us each to tremble before thee. We might be truly found in that day, clothed in thy righteousness, when we appear before that righteous judge. That holy, heart-searching God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that it might be, 'tis he, not the poor sinner, not the wretched, hell-deserving sinner, not that one that's so black, but it may it please thee. Truly, might be, 'tis he, that one that is most lovely, the altogether lovely. 'Tis he instead of me is seen.
when I approach to God. O Lord, prepare us each then for that day. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, for thy Spirit must the work perform. For it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience, clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God, our son or a daughter, that one, the beggar, the dunghill, raised up as a son or a daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, blank but comely. Blank but comely. Lord, we would then plead that thou wouldst take us each in hand. Take us each in hand and work in our hearts that which is effectual. That which is effectual. Lord, remember each we plead in their pathway of life. Undertake for them, manage all by the way unto the end. And O Lord, as thou brought to this the close of another year, oh, may it please each one. May be thou wrought in our hearts whereby we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Can we not say hitherto, hath the Lord helped us? We have to acknowledge it has been so. Yes, there have been those times, have there not? Cast down, but not in despair. There have been those trials and tribulations. There's difficulties in the way, but Lord, we have proved, have we not? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We've had those comforts of the gospel. We've had those, yes, have we not? The blessed Spirit, like those two upon the Emmaus road, we've proved, have we not? Jesus himself drew near and went with them. May it please you then, give unto each that thankful heart. Lord, we cannot speak for anyone else, but Lord, thou knowest how often we fall to murmuring. Murmuring, even complaining, but Lord, thy mercies, they be new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, and we would desire to raise an Ebenezer stone. We might, yes, and some of us we trust, through our pathway of life we can see those Ebenezer stones when we're able to look back. And may it please you then, when we are able to tell it to the generation following, when they say, what mean ye by these stones? From time to time the mouth may be opened to exhort, yes, to exhort even the generation, the younger generation, that there is a God, a faithful God. We proved a faithful and unchanging God. May they also likewise prove the same. One who is able to do for us more than we can ask or even think, and has done. Do remember the dear young friends we plead. the babes in arms to those who are growing up. Lord, what an evil world in which their lot is cast. But oh, what a mercy as thou dost not change, and thou wilt ever have that care of thy church and thy people, thy chosen people. As we may have many fears for them, we have to commit it all into thy hands. For thou hast said concerning thy church and thy people, thou wilt abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. And so as we look upon our young, we fear for them. And yet that promise will stand true to the end of time. They will also, will they not, prove the abundant mercy of God? Lord, may it please them whilst young in years, may prove it there. Even the word has spoken unto thy servant. My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, may they prove the sufficiency of thy grace in their childhood years, as they are enabled to call upon thee in their times of trouble. Ah, Lord, the young, yes, the dear young ones. Oh, keep them, guard them, guide them, direct their steps. But all may be that seeking first the kingdom of heaven and thy righteousness. Prove that all these things, other things, shall be added unto you. But Lord, do hedge them about. Preserve them from evil men and seducers, which wax worse and worse. Keep them from the evils of the day and the temptations of the day and the subtlety of the foe. Grant parents that help as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grant them that wisdom. Lord, we hear of this and that from time to time. And what questions and what troubles arise. Ah, yes. Even amongst our own family, we hear of those things that the young in our day, that which is forced upon them by authorities. And how they have to take a stand, and they're brought to tremble at times. And they know not what to say, and they feel insufficient in what they say. But Lord, grant them that help. May they prove the promise. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Oh, may they seek wisdom of thee. May they seek that strength of thee. May they seek that help of thee. Ah, that when in that hour, that moment, they have to speak. Yes, often it is it not, with much trembling and feeling so fearful and are afraid. But Lord, give them that strength sufficient for the hour. Remember those in the midst of life, whether it is at one in their studies, through to those in the even time of life, the cares and the troubles and trials and difficulties, the things that come in a moment of time. Yes, oftentimes, is it not, begin to sail smoothly along, and then that has command the stormy wind. Thou dost raise the stormy wind. And we're tossed about upon the sea of life, the storm of life, and we wonder where the scene will end. Jehoshaphat, might often goes to Jehoshaphat. And what a mercy these things are left on record for our encouragement, for our help. Jehoshaphat is brought to such a place as this, neither know we what to do. All his wisdom was as nothing, his natural wisdom and his strength are as nothing. The people trembled, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are up unto thee. Our eyes are up unto thee. Like one of old, yes, was it not Hezekiah? Turned his face toward the wall. Those extremities, those wits' end corners, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. Oh, what a favour indeed for a poor sinner. Ah, yes, cast down, but not in despair. Faith eyes at one that is able to do for them more than they can ask or even think. Ah, the eye of faith eyes at one, but how often it is this unbelief. Unbelief rises up, and Lord, we find the language of one often suits us. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, may it please you then. Perhaps one even in the midst of trouble this day, and they fear another year. They fear the prospect of that which is before them. Oh, may they prove there is help laid upon one that is mighty. May they prove, even as Jehoshaphat, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. You have no need to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours but God's. Ah, Lord, enable each one to cast their temporal cares upon thee. Trials of the way. But also those things concerning the never-dying soul. Especially those things concerning the never-dying soul and eternity. Ah, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind and strong, mercy joined with power. Oh, enable then that one to look up, pour out their heart before thee, to lay the whole case at thy feet, and then give them that patience to wait for thy appearing, in them to fall into thy hands and say, Lord, do what seemeth thou good. Only lead me forth by the right way. Remember those in the even time of life, especially we plead for them. Ah, and mine goes to this one and that one throughout the hills of Zion. Show them a token for good. Grant them, we plead, little dew upon their branch this day, little former and latter rain in their season. Do be pleased to be their remembrance, as thou hast promised to bring to remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken to them. May it please thee, like David of old, they might yet been able to look back, yes, darkness and weariness and often attends away. The weakness of the flesh and the weariness of the mind. Ah, but may they be even like David of old, encourage himself in the Lord his God. Was there not a looking back? He was unable to look back and see all the way which the Lord his God had led him from his childhood, youth and manhood. Ah, encourage himself in the Lord his God. And so, Lord, we plead for those in the even time of life. Help them, we plead. May they feel those everlasting arms underneath. Those everlasting arms that have not failed them to this day. And that promise that it is true, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do remember those in affliction. Ah, oh, there are many afflicted in Zion. Some young. Yeah, some have babes in arms, are they not? Some children, some in their youth, and some in the middle of life, and some in the even time of life. Ah, afflictions. Lord, thou knowest, when we're brought into affliction, our old nature hates it. But, O Lord, may it please thee sanctify the path and sweeten the pain. Bless all the means used for their good. And if it could please thee, raise them up again. Ah, to that wonted place, to that full health and strength. But also may they know that perfect healing. Ah, yes, even in the... Have we not proved it some afflictions? Oh, in the midst of affliction, we prove Christ. Christ has been revealed. In the midst of affliction, we've been led into a little sympathy with Christ in his sufferings. Ah, I remember it well now. One particular time when it was, Lord, may they prove it also. Midst of great pain, great and terrible pain, but oh, thou didst sweeten it all as we saw Christ and viewed Christ. And those sufferings which were so intense that angels have no perfect sense. Ah, those sufferings, as I was brought to feel it then, were in my room, place and stead. What were my sufferings then compared to Christ? And what he had suffered in the sinner's room, place and stead. What he had suffered in his church's room, place and stead. Cannot comprehend it. But Lord, do yet put forth thy healing hand if it could please thee. And those things which seem like impossibilities. They seem like impossibilities, but is anything too hard for thee? Nothing is too hard for thee, and if it could be thy will, perform those miracles in our day. But enable us in all these things to say thy will be done. Enable us to fall into the hands of the heavenly potter. Lord, remember us then, we plead, and especially then the afflicted. Remember thy true church here and elsewhere. Little hills of Zion, the gatherings together of thy people, we're minished and brought low. Oh, we're minished and brought low, but thou hast a church and thou wilt maintain it and preserve it down to the end of time. But, O Lord, we know not what we may yet have to endure for thy sake and for that. Those of old, they suffered. In those persecutions, they suffered. And yet thou didst sustain them. Thou didst strengthen them. And as we would thank thee for thy mercies towards us still, we can gather together without the fear of man or authority. We thank thee for it. But, O Lord, there are those that rise up. There are those that would seek to take these things away from us. They do not want God to reign over them. They would do away with thy word. They would do away with any mention of thy name. But, Lord, hast thou not maintained thy people and thy church through many changing scenes Ah, many changing scenes and even distressing trials down to this time. And we would not be unmindful of those that are persecuted for thy name's sake in other lands where they, even down to death, they're persecuted. Remember them there. But, O Lord, we also plead for this nation. We're brought toward the close of another year. And we see thy hand is stretched out still. Thou hast been merciful unto us. Thou didst grant a harvest. And thou hast granted once again a sowing of the seed. And there's a springing forth. And we thank thee for it. But, O Lord, in this dark and evil day, in this land which has turned thee the back and not the face, may it yet please, it might be a reviving, a springing forth of that which is of true righteousness, whereby it may once again be said, righteousness exalteth a nation. Open the eyes of the blind, unstop the deaf ears, we plead. Break the hearts of stone. Show our leaders what they ought to do. But Lord, throughout the population, are there none of thy dead elect? Around this little cause of truth here and the little cause of truth throughout this land, are there none of thy dead elect? Oh, put forth thy hand if it could please thee. Arrest them in their mad career. May it please, it might be thus far, thou shalt go and no further. Brought in like those Greeks of old, with the sirs we would see Jesus, give me Christ or else I die. Are there none of thy prodigals, O Lord? They've left thy courts many years ago. Oh, may that which they heard many years ago be taking yet, even now, that deep root downward, that might yet spring forth into the light. Ah, what a mercy I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand. Or say, what doest thou? And in their youth, they may have set their hearts like flint against thee, turned aside from the living God and gone away from thee as far as sheep can run. For thy hand is not short and it cannot save. And what a mercy it can save uttermost sinners. It does. Oh, have we been brought to see some as we've been uttermost sinners. Sinners of the deepest dye. So, Lord, we plead. Revive thy work in the midst of our years. In the midst of our years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Oh, remember us then, we plead. Have mercy upon this nation. And yet, if it could please, there might be that turning once again unto thee. But now, O Lord, enable us as a company of poor sinners to gather round thy word. Break the bread of life unto us. Do us each good, send none empty away. And if there are those unconcerned, oh, bring them to that time of concern. They might be brought even this day to smite upon their breast and cry, God, be merciful to a sinner. And so, Lord, we plead, pardon and forgive all we've asked amiss. And where we've failed in our asking, do be pleased to make up in giving. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1034. Jesus, my soul's athirst for thee, absent from thee I cannot rest. Come now, reveal thyself to me, I cannot leave thy throne unblessed. 1034.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, we'll read verses 6 and 7. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Especially verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. As we are brought now toward the close of this, another year of our short lives comes to an end. A year is before us if we're spared, and all that it may contain, the rest of our lives, however many years that may be, and what that may contain. And how often it is it not, fears. Fears and foes of every shape and form. It's not long before we find troubles come. Troubles come and we tremble. Job declared, and I turned to it in the vestry, it came to my mind. Job declared, did he not? As we read in the 14th chapter of the book of Job, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. But man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. We have to come like one, few and evil are our days. But that chapter we read in Zechariah, what a mercy we read. That which is spoken of there in that form concerning the candlesticks and the bowl and the pipes and the bowl and the lamps and the olive trees. Does it not speak of the grace of God? Does it not speak of that grace of God which, blessed be his holy name. It served the church of God down to this day. And we will serve the church of God till the end of time. It will not only serve, but you'll prove, and each one shall prove of that sufficiency of his grace and favour towards poor sinners. That sufficiency that will be more than enough for your needs and mine. What seest thou? And how often we find, we're walking, are we in our pathway, and as it were asleep.
We don't prove that sufficiency when everything seems to be going along smooth and we're, as it were, in that sleep, but when troubles come, what a mercy when we're awakened out of that sleep. What seest thou? Ah, the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. Ah, that candlestick speaks of the Church of Christ, his people. And that bowl, does it not speak of that which is of the sufficiency of his grace and that oil that flows into it? And those pipes are to the seven lamps. Were they not, as it were, they came from those two olive trees by it, one on the one side, on the right side of the bowl, and the other on the left side thereof. No man had any hand in it. It wasn't dependent upon a man, but there by this, as it were, this miraculous way which was revealed to the servant of the Lord here. And it speaks of that which is of that sufficiency, which is not of man. Ah, yes, if it was of man, we'd boast, but this is where poor sinner can boast of Christ. He boasts not of himself. From time to time, the Lord's tribe people, they're boasting, is it not, of Christ and that favour towards them through that grace of God and through that love set upon them. I have loved thee with everlasting love. So these two olive trees and the pipes that went to those lamps, there was a flowing continual of that oil necessary for that lamp to burn, that candlestick to burn, and that flame to be seen there. We read concerning, do we not, when that work of grace is begun in a sinner's heart, the Spirit will take up that abode there, be like that well of water, springing up into eternal life. That well of water. Ah, and perhaps some poor sinner, yes, we come, as we said, to the end of another year. What troubles and trials we have, perhaps at the beginning of that year. And perhaps those trials, yes, you've been brought through them. Perhaps some, it is like this. They haven't ended. You're still in the midst of it. And at times you wonder where the scene will end. But what a mercy. What a mercy. That oil of that grace that has sustained you to this day, that has brought you thus far, that all of his grace, that of his favour, will bring you through it. Ah, blessed be his holy name, will bring you through it. And then you'll know a little of this, whereby we read, who art thou, O great mountain? Zerubbabel, it speaks of Christ, does it not? Christ is our Zerubbabel, the church is Zerubbabel. O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth a headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. And oh, when this word came to my mind earlier in the week, it seemed to do my fainting spirits good. My trembling spirit, it did my trembling soul good. I can look back to the time of my young manhood. I had a sufficiency there of natural strength, natural wisdom. There's a stoicism that carried us a long way, but now, perhaps you younger ones may wonder at these things. But oh, may you yet be brought to prove it. If you're one of the Lord's people, you will prove it. For I believe he will weaken your strength in the way. He'll weaken your strength in the way. And you're brought as one, we read in the Song of Solomon, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? That's one needing and ever dependent upon that sufficiency of the grace of God to a poor sinner, both for time and for eternity, providence and grace. As I say, when I look back to my young manhood, I didn't see things as I do now. But oh, blessed be his holy name, the Word of God. And some portions, and this portion, as I said the other day, was precious to my soul. For we read, the hands of Zerubbabel. So he said Zerubbabel is that type of Christ. It speaks of Christ. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation. What a mercy, if it could be said of each one of us, and of this poor sinner as we stand up in the Lord's name, laid the foundation. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. This is the word of the Lord. Often speak, and it comes to my mind concerning the promises of man. They fail, do they not? They're very shallow promises of men. Yes, yeah, some honour their promises, and it's a mercy indeed they do. But some, they can speak it in a moment, and they forget all about it. Some may say, well, come and do, they start something for you, might be, something you've had done or having done. They come and start, and then you don't see them anymore, they go away, you hear of it. But this concerning this foundation, that which the Lord hath begun in your soul and mine, what a mercy is not dependent upon you. It's not dependent upon another man. It's all dependent upon the grace of God. And so that one then, if there's that work begun in you, young, midst of life or in the even time of life, there shall be a proving that all of that grace that flowed into that lamp and the sufficiency of it, and you'll rejoice. You'll rejoice, you'll know a little of the Psalms where we read, bless the Lord, O my soul. My mind goes out, Psalm 103. Oh, may that be each one's portion, whereby you can come with the psalmist there. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And all those benefits, that's where they flow from. As we said, it's not of man, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. If you're patching up your own righteousness, if you think you have a sufficiency of your own, you won't know the language of the psalmist here. But oh, may you yet know it, whereby you have to, it comes from the heart then, the song of praise, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth. Ah, that work of grace, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who redeemeth, and crowneth. One then that has laid the foundation stone. That work of grace, as we said, is not dependent upon your efforts or any other man. If it were, if my soul depended upon my works, my righteousness, I know it would fail at last. I know it would fail at last. It's a solemn reality, but it's a truth, for we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and who can know it? But this, if your love with an everlasting love, drawn by his sweet, resist this grace, that which begins to flow, as we said, when the Spirit takes up an abode in your heart and mind, there is that which will spring up into eternal life. It will drive out, yes, it will drive out, it will bring it away from self. It will be like even as Joshua, that robe of your righteousness, that filthy garment, will be stripped from you. You won't be permitted to go to the end of your days with it on, but there will be that wrought effectually in you. That one has laid the foundation stone. Takes great care in that way that building is erected. And will not let you build your own, build anything of yourself upon it. But there will be that done which is effectual. Bring a poor sinner home to glory at last. As we realise then, as we said, another year has gone. We've only got a few more hours, and if we're spared to another year, what a mercy indeed. But eternity before us each. How stands the case, your soul and my soul? It's an important question, is it not? How stands the case? It's personal, my soul. The one that stands up in the Lord's name, am I dependent upon this grace and the sufficiency of it? Am I resting upon it? Is my hope bound up in it? It must be so. We read concerning those buildings, that one that was raised upon a false foundation when the storm came against it and the winds blew against it, fell, did it not? So if there's anything short of Christ on this which is of his grace, that one has come up some other way, not dependent upon this grace, great will be the fall of it. Yes, you may, we went a long way with a form of godliness, satisfied with a form of godliness which had no power. A self-righteous, a proud self-righteous spirit. But that was devoid of the grace of God. And had this poor sinner, those years ago, brought down to the end of my days then, I wasn't dependent upon the grace of God. I was depending upon my own righteousness, self-righteous, that proud spirit. Come not nigh me, for I'm holier than thou. But
But oh, when the Spirit ransacked every corner of my heart, then I saw I had need of something better. I had need of that great salvation. I had need of that, that's that well of water, that's that oil beginning to flow. That oil of His grace, and what a mercy. When that work of grace is begun, it's I will work, and who shall let it? None can hinder it. And the adversary will see, have a go at trying to hinder it. Your old nature will try and hinder it. As we read concerning that oil and that lamp and those trees upon each side of that lamp, there was a flowing then that couldn't be stopped. It wasn't dependent upon the man. Wasn't dependent upon the man. And so it's not by your power, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform. So that one that's laid the foundation stone, anything that's of wood, hay and stubble, that will be burned up. And yes, do you not find also as much of that still? I find as much of that still. Wood, hay and stubble. Still seek to put her own hand to things. We're brought again and again, dependent upon that grace. And oftentimes is it not through troubles and trials? Through troubles and trials we're brought back to that grace. That place of dependence. I know often quoted, but that Psalm 107, what a mercy. Then they cried unto the Lord, that well of water, that oil of grace, brings a poor child of God into a time of need. Then they cried. That Psalm 107 speaks of that grace, does it not? They were brought to their desired haven. Many times I cried unto the Lord. The Lord answered and heard and delivered. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And perhaps the Lord has brought in the past year brought you into troubles. And perhaps, as we said, those troubles go on. And you wonder where the scene will end. But what a mercy. If it's of that foundation, that work which is of grace. Yes, our old nature. We want things in a different way. We want things in a different way. My nature does. It wants it in a smooth way. The Lord, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. The thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. And how we have to prove that His ways are not as our ways. Neither are His thoughts as our thoughts. Can't see it perhaps now that it is of the grace of God. But some of us, we can look back to those times of trial that we can say now we can kiss the rock, we can see grace. Grace was stamped upon it. Those trials, it had the mercy and grace of God stamped upon it. I believe I quoted in prayer, but what a mercy if it is so, and you're proving it so. Then they cried. Those times when the Lord causes a storm, it raises the stormy wind.
Raiseth a stormy wind, troubles come in a moment. Ah, some as we've proved and some have proved, perhaps in the last little while and perhaps in the past year, those troubles have come in a moment. Troubles the Lord commandeth, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depth, their soul is melted because of trouble. Ah, what a mercy that if through those troubles, yes, that's out of his grace, melting the hard heart. We soon become very hard-hearted. We soon become, cold and lifeless. We soon think we can manage. Yes, we're beginning to build something else on that foundation, which is not of God. Yes, we're all the same. Some in greater measure than others. But we soon begin, we've left our first love. Left our first love. Gone after other gods even. Yes, that's building something else upon that foundation. But if the foundation is right. The foundation is right, you'll be brought even as this. The Lord commandeth. Commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind. And lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, they stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And it's times of wit's end when the poor sinner proves the grace of God. Then they cry. And that is only by that grace of God, that which flows. It works in your heart. It's the Spirit of God that keeps that soul alive. If it's not real, that really, your religion is not real, you won't know of that bubbling up and that flowing into your soul. But if you know that, if there's that real, which is divine reality in your soul, you'll know that which is of the Spirit. It speaks of the Spirit. These are the two anointed ones. That's Christ and the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit. The two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Have you been given then that new sharp threshing instrument having teeth? Trouble brought forth real prayer, and perhaps you've had to pray in a way you've never prayed before, that's at all of grace. And have you found, that enlargement? Enlarge your soul in trouble, there's been enlargement there. And you found, perhaps as you bow the knee in that solitary place, in that closet, and as you poured your heart out before the Lord, you've spoken in a way you've never spoken before. And grace and the faith is an exercise. And you poured your heart out before the Lord. May you yet prove then, even as the psalm I felt it laid upon my mind to read that Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Well, where would some of us have been? Were it not for that grace? When we look back over our lives, those times of trouble and sorrow and difficulty and affliction, things hard to be understood. I believe we quoted in prayer, do we not? Cast down, but not in despair. That's a sustaining grace. That has all of that grace that flows from that vessel. into the Lamb. Ah, yes, and kept your soul alive and keeps your soul alive. Cast down, but not in despair. Oh, look again toward thy holy temple. Out of the belly of hell, cried I, Jonah had to prove, did he not? You have to prove then as a psalmist, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. The God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Can we not say, some of us, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help? That's that grace, that all of grace that has brought us even to this time whereby we can say, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Perhaps I've mentioned it before, but before, when my dear one and oneself were joined together in holy matrimony. Our dear brother-in-law wrote this in the Bible which he gave to us. Happy is he. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Had to prove it many times. But ah, that grace, the promise we read, do we not? For he hath said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Ah, happy is he then that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is the Lord his God. I know the time we were in our younger years, didn't see so much in it then, but now, especially as we realise now we're even time of life, weakened our strength in the way, more and more dependent upon him, feel oftentimes unable to move. How can I go on? How can I go on? The way seems so difficult, the way at times seems so dark. Many mountains and difficulties that seem so foreboding. But oh, happy is he. And as a psalmist, we have to prove this, and may you yet prove it. May you prove it now, perhaps one tossed about. Year comes towards a close and many fears before you. Many fears of the coming days, coming weeks, coming months, and you wonder where the scene will end. But and it's only under the grace of God and the proving that fullness of his grace when it's made known unto you, then is it not this, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. That little measure of that peace of God which passeth all understanding. Yes, even in the midst of troubles and trials and scenes, which, yes, how often they are. They confuse our natural minds, our natural thoughts. In the midst of it all, yes, we become very fearful indeed. But all that comes to my mind, but the time has gone, comes to my mind even that verse. I feel I must quote it. For this is that grace of God also, that which flows, and the Spirit makes it known unto his people. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Yes, the eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. That's sufficient of his grace. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. That's sufficient of his grace. Yea, I'll uphold thee. Oh, that sufficiency of his grace to uphold and bring through. Ah, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £690, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Burgess will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a reading service in the morning. And Mr. Charles Woolboys is expected to preach in the evening and administer the Lord's Supper. And our friends at Oakington hold their New Year prayer meeting tomorrow, and at St. Ives on Thursday evening. Let us close with hymn 132. A friend there is, your voices join, ye saints, to praise his name, whose truth and kindness are divine, whose love's a constant flame. 132.
should be pleased to bless that which is of thee, and cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do be pleased to come up us again at the evening hour, or grant that exercise and burden of soul. And, O Lord, manifest thyself, make one in the midst. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.